Thank you. Welcome everyone to the February 11th meeting of the CCSD board. I call to order and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Asana. And it appears that Director Dean's been able to join us, so we do have all board members present at this time. I believe. Excellent. Okay, thank you. And Council Carmel, I believe you have a report for us from closed session.
Yes, I do, President Steidel. At the January 27th, 2021 special meeting, the Board of Directors voted to approve a settlement agreement and release of claims in the CCSD versus CDM Smith case. The motion to approve the settlement agreement and release of claims was made by President Steidel, seconded by Director Gray, and the vote was 5-0. The agreement's material terms are payment by CDM Smith of $1.75 million in exchange for a dismissal of the lawsuit. A link to the settlement agreement is posted on the district's website. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. We'll move on to agenda review.
Can I ask Tim a couple of questions, a couple of inquiries that folks and the public have made to me?
Regarding closed session or?
Well, with regard to this particular item.
Well, if Mr. Carmel's in a position to be able to answer them, certainly.
Well, so the two questions I've been asked are, what were the approximate legal fees that we paid to, let's say, Rutan and Tucker, and perhaps to Carmel and Nakasha with regard to the suit? And also, where would we be able to use these funds that we're receiving from CDM Smith? What are the limitations with regard to how these monies can be spent?
Good question.
With regard to the first question, I believe legal fees were a little in excess of $250,000 between Rutana Tucker and Carmel Nakasha. The second question is a little more difficult to answer, and I'm not in a position to do so now. We're going to have to do a little bit of research to figure out the parameters of our ability to use those funds. But certainly that will be a discussion that the board will have down the line.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carmel. We'll move on then to the agenda review for any additions or deletions that members may have to the agenda. Do I hear any? All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move on then to number two, the commission report. Our pros chairman report. Mr. Niffen.
Yay, thank you, everybody. Hey, I've got a few things to say, so I'm going to talk fast. I went to the slow skate park in San Luis next to the Santa Rosa Park. I encourage everybody to do that. I'm a big Steinbeck fan. I'm a huge fan of place. Everybody is somewhere. That skate park is a super awesome place. There's different ages, there's different abilities, and there's different activities going on in this location. I don't like skateboarding. I've told you that from the beginning. But when you go to the San Luis skate park, it feels good. It's a good place. So it gave me a lot of hope that we could create something here that would make those of us that didn't really care for skateboarding still feel good being in that place. It's awesome watching the little guys that are 5 years old do their little thing, regardless of whether you like skateboarding or not, because little kids are cute. And the older guys were there, and the young kids had their things too. So I have a lot of hope for what's going on. That's one thing. The second thing I wanted to comment on was the East Park and the project that we did there a number of years ago for some $300,000, where we graded that piece of property and we spent a lot of money and put a lot of effort into that project. I watched that project specifically because it was our project. It was confusing at times because I didn't understand what it was they were trying to do. 12 inches of rain showed us what they were trying to do, and it looks like it worked pretty well. I will not go on and on about what it is that it was doing there with the swells, but it looks like that was a very well thought out and efficient project. I don't think anybody needs kudos or pats on the back for doing a job they're supposed to be doing, but that is one job that we accomplished. So I am kind of proud of that. I'm also proud of Carlos and the work they did with the flooded section over there. He's probably going to comment on that. I won't go into that further. The projects that we're doing now are the bathrooms. Monty and his boys down at Civil Design are working with Carlos on that. I don't think I have anything to further on that. That gets us into the skate park and just whether or not the contract has actually been signed with Spawn Ranch, which is the design company that we're going with. Everybody is very excited about that. Let me look at those notes. The most important thing we've got going now is we have to make sure that we do not lose the Prop 68 grant of the $177,000. That's why it's important that we get going with this contract, because we have to have a signed build contract to be able to garner those funds from the Prop 68 grants. We're not out of time yet, but we are on a time limit, and so we want to get on that. And I just wanted to reiterate or ask or make sure that we still have $3,000 in our budget that was set aside for the grant writer for this upcoming thing, not that we've identified the grant writer. All of those things, the skate park ladies are here, Julie and Shara. They don't have anything to say, but I just want you to know that they're here. They're diligent at coming to the meetings. They have a fundraiser going on for Valentine's Day, low impact. They're staying out of everybody's way. They're selling roses. There was some alliteration going there, and roses for something, for skate, for dates. Anyway, they're selling roses and they're raising money, and so keep an eye out for that. Other than that, I'll take questions.
Oh, excellent. I will ask the Slow Skate Park, is the general location of that
skate? It's right next to Santa Rosa Park, next to right there. You can just pull, and you kind of got to walk back because you can't see it from the parking lot, really. And there's a lot of art, kind of. They've got a lot of, they're San Luis. They like art.
Yeah, they've got a city government.
Yeah, that too.
The other part of it is, the idea of having those space areas available for differing ages is wonderful. The only thing I'm not sure of is what kind of space that took up, because we don't have a lot of space.
No, and it doesn't have to be that large. It's just more that it's just a cool space to be in. So yeah, maybe there's not the high level advance, but there was just a little thing on it's. Oh, I look at it like water parks. You can go down to LA and you can go to Hurricane Harbor and it's huge, or you can go over to Paso and go to Raging Waters, which is small, but it's still pretty cool if you live in San Luis County, because it's still better than nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Does the board have any questions for Mr. Niffen?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Steve how much. I'd like to ask Steve how much coffee you take.
Well, no more than I ever do. I just had something to say today.
Thank you, Vice President Howell.
Thank you. Steve, you mentioned a time limit. Could we know what that time is?
Well, we have to have the build contract signed by the end of the year, and Mr. Weigold could correct me on that if I was wrong.
Okay. Thank you. So we have till the end of the year to get the contract signed. Okay. Just wanted to be sure. Okay.
Need to recognize, too, that having a signed contract means a commitment to money.
Yep.
Which may or may not be available from Prop 68. Or it may or may not be granted. So those are the kinds of things we have to have in consideration. Director Dean?
I just wanted to say that I did go look at the skate park a while back in San Luis, and it is absolutely beautiful. So if any of the other directors haven't looked at it yet, it's worth looking at. And yeah, a much smaller version of it would be pretty cool for our kids.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. And yes, I certainly do intend to go look at it myself too. Any other questions from the board? Are there any questions from the community?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Asana.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move to item 3, which is public comment. Are there any members of the community who wish to speak on items other than those that are currently on the agenda?
Yes, there is a Claudia Harmon with her hand up. Go ahead, Claudia.
Hi, this is Claudia Harmon. We're then, and I'd like to speak on a subject through Beautify Cambria's Dark Sky Initiative. We're in the process of changing the CZLUO, the Coastal Zone Lighting Ordinance for lighting. And part of that is to get letters of support from various organizations, where we have letters from Bruce Gibson, North Coast Advisory Council, various nonprofit organizations, churches. So we have a lot of letters, but the primary letter that we need is one from the CCSD, because you're in charge of streetlights, and the streetlights are the ones that are giving us the most sky glow, the most light pollution. And so there are five basic reasons why you want to change your lighting so that it points towards the ground and not into people's bedroom windows or into the sky. The most important one for ones for the CCSD would be one to be safe. It's been proven that just having light blasting out there with these blue-white LED lights is actually counterproductive for safety and security, for wayfinding. It can actually cause people to be kind of blinded by the light rather than lighting the path. So Dark Sky Initiative to create Cambria as a international dark sky community means to light the ground and not the sky. Doesn't do much good to light the sky. So the second big reason for your support is because this will save the district money. If we use high efficacy lighting, if we use less of it but make it more effective, if we change them from the right blue-white LEDs to a more soft, more of a yellow tone lights, then you're going to be saving money overall in your electric bill. So that's what we want. I have letters from other communities and from other organizations. If you'd like samples, those can be provided. I would like time at one of your March meetings, hopefully your first March meeting, to give a formal presentation with a PowerPoint to kind of show you what I'm talking about. Towns like Phoenix, they put a proposal out to the community, and they overwhelmingly decided that they wanted their lights to be yellow instead of blue-white. So we're finding many, many communities around the country are opting to have lights that are more, pedestrian-friendly, more environmentally friendly for several reasons. I won't go into that right now because I'd like to give you a presentation on this. I have a lot of facts and figures I can give you, and I'll do that at a later time. So right now, I would just let you know that we would really appreciate a letter of support for our attempt to become a international dark sky community that's codified by the International Dark Sky Association in Tucson, Arizona. Because I can't have you ask questions, but in the future I'll have you ask questions and I'll answer those. It also brings tourism. I don't know, it's not a big
Ms. Harmon, I'm afraid we've reached the limit of our time.
I get so excited about this subject.
I know. could I ask you, there are several things that you made reference to that you could make available for information purposes. If you could forward those, please, to the general manager, And that would provide us, and he could make distribution for us as necessary or possible of that, so that we would have that to take into consideration.
I will do that. We'll send some things to the GM and look forward to seeing you in March.
Well, we will hope that's the case. So we'll certainly take a look at our agenda loading for March, which has already begun and is starting to fill up. So if there is the opportunity for it, we will certainly look for it. And
thank you
and
very much. Appreciate that. Okay, thank you, board.
Thank you. And are there any other speakers that... Osana?
No, I do not see any, and no board comments either. No emails.
We'll move on to the consent agenda then. So I will ask the question, but are there any items from the consent agenda that any members of the board want to have pulled from consent? Director Farmer?
I don't necessarily want to pull anything, but I just want to make an observation on page 7 and also on page 8, where it mentions a district clerk 5 times, like under preparation of minutes, item number 4, and it says minutes of the board shall be kept by the district clerk. And like I said, district clerk's mentioned 5 times on pages 7 and 8. I think it's now board secretary, if I'm not mistaken. So I just thought I'd bring that to our attention.
Thank you.
So other than changing that to board secretary, I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
All right. I will confirm also with the... with the GM, is that the appropriate term to be using?
It is the title. I defer to district council whether or not they are interchangeable enough for purposes of the bylaws.
I think it would be a good idea to change them so that it refers to the proper name. So maybe as a part of that motion, we can include amending references to district clerk to board secretary as well.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carmel. So the motion that you'd like to put forward, Director Farmer, would be?
I make a motion to amend the board bylaws to and replace district clerk with board secretary and make a motion, therefore, to make that adjustment and approve the consent agenda. That might be a little bit too lengthy, but that's the motion I'm making.
It's in there. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Okay. Thank you, Director Gray. And Sana, could you please read the roll?
Yes. Director Farmer?
Yes.
Okay. So Director Farmer, aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Okay. Director Gray said aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Dean says aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Vice President Howell says aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Vice President Steidel says aye. Thank you. 5 ayes.
Thank you. So the consent agenda with the recommended motion change is passed 5-0. And we'll move on to regular business. So GM Weigel, could you please introduce the first item?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 5A is discussion and consideration regarding adoption of the CCSD strategic plan and board goals and objectives. Staff is recommending that the board discuss and consider adoption of the proposed CCSD strategic plan and the goals and objectives of the board for 2021. As you know, the board managers from staff and additional other members from the committees held a special meeting on January 15th and 19th to develop the special, the strategic plan. What you have there before you and the attachment is a grid which outlines each of the strategic goals and the underlying objectives. The plan will be to review those on a monthly basis as part of your regular meetings for the next 6 months until those objectives are complete or modified in such a fashion as the board directs. So the staff is recommending that the board review and discuss these board goals and objectives. And direct staff as necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. So board members, do you wish to hear any public comments first, or do you want to have discussion?
I go with public comment first.
Okay. I agree.
Excellent. With that, call then for public comment. If there's anyone who'd like to speak to this first regular business item A that was outlined by the GM.
Yes, I call David Pearson. Go ahead, David Pearson.
Yes, good afternoon, President Seidel, board and staff. David Pearson, Cambria. I enjoyed participating in the planning event. I look forward to the progress being made on all of the objectives that you will adopt today. Are the goals perfect? No. Are they a positive start? Yes. Did we all learn a lot? Yes. And I think we will all improve on the process and the goals and objectives when we meet again in July. I personally look forward to that opportunity and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pearson.
Thank you.
Do we have any other, comments, Asana?
Yes, I have Dennis Dujic. The public calls Dennis to talk. Please go ahead.
Thank you all very much. And thank you again for your bold efforts and the collaboration that you showed during the January 15th and 19th workshops to develop your 2021 CCSD strategic plan. As I indicated in my prior comments, I believe that the four goals and the associated objectives developed and recommended by this exceptionally qualified group of participants will make a firm foundation from which to increase public participation and build a robust and sustainable program for the future of Cambria. Please support the staff recommendations and adopt the strategic plan and objective as proposed. In the area of water conservation, which was a significant item that was brought up during the effort, I've identified one organization that might offer some valuable insights to the committee and to the Cambria residents, and that organization is the Greywater Action for a Sustainable Water Culture. And in my letter, I included a link. I hope you find this information useful and worthy of discussion and consideration as a component of your water conservation, technical, and educational resources. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dennis. And David Pearson, did you want to speak again? Your hand is up again. I don't know. I did put it down.
No, there we go. Yeah.
Okay, it's down. Okay. All right. I do not see anybody else.
Don't see any other comments, right? So let's move this back to the board for discussion then, please. Is there anything in particular that board members would like to discuss? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you wanted to say something, go right ahead.
I wanted to address one item that was on here that in further conversation with council and understanding it a little bit more. And this is on page 17. And it was the first item of the three-year goal to achieve a balanced policy for growth and resources. The composition of the people who were involved there, it was determined at that time to have Director Farmer be the lead in that process. And there were two ways that would work. One is if Director Farmer, if you were the chair of the committee rather than Director Dean, or in establishing an ad hoc within that committee by your participation as a lead there, what that would do is impose Brown Act requirements, which would mean that there would have to be a separate agenda, there would have to be separate minutes taken, and it would create additional level of complexity there. So as much as I know there were individuals in the group who wanted to have you be a participant in on that, I put it to board conversation. My concern is that it's creating a complexity within that isn't necessary, as Director Dean is already very much involved in this, and there have been any number of ad hoc committees that have been established within the R&I committee to address some of the concerns or issues that represents. So I ask for any other feedback from directors. Director Dean?
Okay, so the R&I committee already has ad hoc committees on water conservation and gray water use, researching offsite water storage possibilities, and water demand management and offset measures, which pretty much is covered under this goal. So we're already doing this, and it's either going to have to be, because of the Brown Act, it's either going to have to stay with R&I, or Director Farmer is going to have his own ad hoc committee of the board. I don't see how two directors can be involved with one standing committee and not violate the Brown Act. So,
all right.
What do you want to do?
Yeah. Are there any? Well, I think that I, you know, in all of the items that we went through when we were establishing these objectives, I do think that there is something that talked to, you know, conservation and resources, that because we had to work or focus on a more limited set of goals for this strategic planning itself, that there's one thing that the community has voiced over and over again as a concern and a desire, and that has to do with the forest conservation and maintenance. And what I would like to suggest is the possibility of establishing a board level ad hoc that was related to some of the tenets of that the community has been asking for a period of time. And if it's okay, I think appropriately it would end up being something that could be added to future business, to have something come forward for discussion and for consideration to adopt an ad hoc along those lines. And as an associated discussion, Director Farmer is certainly very much involved in those kinds of things with the other meetings that he supports in a liaison position. And I think we're getting the opportunity for two objectives being addressed instead of compounding the resources against one single objective that's already being addressed. So I just wanted to offer that out for consideration to everyone. Any comments, feedback? Vice President Howell?
Yes, I think it's a very good idea. So an ad hoc, can't quite think what the name would be, something about the forest. And I think establishing Director Farmer as the lead person on that, I think is an absolutely excellent idea. Unfortunately, we can't do it today.
No, and so that was my recommendation that we can bring it up again for the future business item and move it to a March agenda item and get that established.
The other thing,
go ahead.
And I might suggest too, when we do bring that forward, that we also may I suggest that President Farmer, Director Farmer, consider possibly asking for a second board member to join him on that. And we would
certainly, right?
Who that should be? That should be his choice, I think.
Okay. Another board member.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Director Dean.
I think Director Farmer would be perfect. As the lead of an ad hoc committee like that, he's very focused on the forest. He's the liaison to the the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch and the Forest Committee. And I know how much he loves being in the forest and cares about the forest. And I think he would be absolutely perfect as the lead of that ad hoc committee. So I support bringing that back to the agenda.
All right.
If Harry would like to do it.
Right. Now, Director Farmer, what's your...
Well, it's something that I've been trying to focus on with regard to the management of the forest and perhaps consolidating the energies of FFRP and the Forest Committee and Green Space to ultimately hire a forest manager, forest ecologist to care not just for the Fiscalini Ranch, but all of the wooded areas in our community. So I'd be more than happy to do that. Director Dean said that I'd be perfect for that. So it's nice to know I'm perfect in some area, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, I think all of us acknowledge the commitment that you have to the forest and its conservation. And I'm pleased that folks are interested in pursuing that, because I think that it allows us also to accomplish something in parallel along with the strategic planning that's important to the community.
Yeah. I do want to make mention, excuse me, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I do want to make mention of the fact that when I got on the board, and I just remembered this a few weeks back, when I first got on the board at the end of 2016, and I said my two main goals were to focus on water conservation and grant funding. And for reasons I'm not going to get into right now, those were never really pursued, certainly not to the degree that I wanted. So I'm glad to know that it's coming up in this strategic plan here. And I'm glad to know that description that I had never even heard before from Director Dean with regard to what's happening with the R&I committee. I'm glad to know that that's happening and moving forward. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Director Gray, haven't heard anything from you. Is there anything that you want to add?
Well, not in this specific topic, no, but another aspect of the strategic plan, though.
Okay, fine. Why don't we go ahead and address that also, so that if there's anything within the motion, that we've covered all the bases.
Yeah, on the communication, the first part of the, if I have the right page here. There's a mention of a social media policy, develop a social
right.
media policy. I think that needs to be maybe fleshed out a little bit as to what we're talking about there, because it social media policy can mean many things, like how members of the board can use social policy, how employees can use social media, how employees can use social media. What is the mission there? I think that needs to be fleshed out a little more.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing that came up. And another thing on that same section about the first item of trying to figure out to make the website more communicative, I guess, to the public as to what the public needs to know. I don't know if we have, if the two of us and Gordon Heinrichs and I, and then I guess Osana, we might need to bring in someone with a little more expertise as to how websites work and what, you know, what do we do to put things at different levels and so forth. I don't know if it's more technical than the three of us can do, you know, accomplish in another 2 months. So I think that that task may be a little bit more, you know, a little bigger than it looks.
Right. A suggestion, and I don't know whether this meets the need that you just expressed, but I do know that Ms. Dodson is fairly familiar with that website structure, mm-hmm. and works with it a lot. So she may be an excellent first stop, mm-hmm. to see about that, if that was something that you found that you needed to do. Mm-hmm.
Who is over the website? Who has primary
that
oversight of it?
To the best of my knowledge, that's
General Manager.
In terms of the information that goes there, that belongs to the GM and to Ms. Duffield in the sense that she is the administrative manager, but administrative and finance. But in terms of the person who's actually touching it and doing it, that's Haley Dodson.
Haley, okay, yeah.
And Mr. Weigold, I'm sorry, was there something that you wanted to add?
I was just going to add that Streamline is the web hoster for that. And this is a standard modularized system that all the special districts virtually use up and down the state. But there are different modules we can bolt onto this. So mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of kind of looking into what we don't have that could be helpful here. But Haley's really good at this program, so it's something we can definitely research.
Yeah. On the question of the policy for social media, are we talking about a use of social media for public, you know, for communicating with the public as a district, or rules for using social media by people affiliated with the district? Something different, yeah.
Right.
Clarify.
I'm sorry. So, Vice President Howell, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, two things. First, I'll work backwards. On the social media, I think it's all of the above. It's basically, we have, you know, it's, and I've already been in conversation with the general manager as to how to proceed with this. But in terms of Director Gray's question, it's really everything having to do with social media and the district. So I think it's a little premature yet to narrow the focus until we've got but I think you're right in how board members behave with social media, how staff behaves with social media, what should be there, what should not be there, caveats, various things. It's a broad area. So, but you're right, there are many different aspects. And I think the intent here is to address or identify these aspects and start building some policies around them.
My assumption also. I'm not expecting that there's a policy that evolves out of this so much as that is identifying the context of what the social media is and how we as a district meet that.
Right. And apropos, same, just to carry on, I'm working backwards and then I'll, in terms of Director Gray's thinking about the website. Again, I think we're going a little far because the way I interpret this is look at the website, see if it has the information which the public needs and if that information is easily accessible. It's not so much at this point, as I read it, it's not an issue of correcting the deficiencies, if there are any, but identifying those deficiencies or areas that could be improved. So I don't think you're in need of what I think is being needed here isn't the technical expertise, but we're looking at it from the point of view of a user from the outside. Is the site usable? Is the information easily found? And how do we point users to the information that we really mm-hmm. think they should know?
I always think of it in terms of making something more intuitive to be able to get to the kinds of things you might need. So yeah. Sometimes it's just, you know, having the buttons to go to, you know, or do you want to have something of this or that? But
well, that's what I mean. I mean, yeah, we're looking for, I'm not saying we need to, obviously, given the time frame, we're at the point of all we can really do is identify deficiencies in the next 2 months.
Right.
Anyway, and it's the same with the policy. Same with the policy. All we can do is really get broad outlines of what we want to do with policy. So maybe we should, that should be stated a little bit with more clarity. So
well, what would be your suggestion then?
My suggestion on policy would be develop a template for social media policy. You know,
consideration.
Something like preliminary template for social media policy. What the questions are, what we're looking at exactly, mm-hmm. what we wanted to cover, and the other one is, I think. I guess analyze the website for, I guess that's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good if it's a preliminary analysis.
Preliminary analysis.
If you're a preliminary analysis, that's not so bad.
Eliminate the term analyze and say preliminary analysis?
Or just, I think analyze is broad enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Assess, so the first item there,
how about assess what's there? Yeah, how about assess the website?
Okay.
Assess the website.
So instead of analyze, we would say assess. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's better. That's actually a better
word. Okay.
Yeah, that's more closer. And on the policy, just say develop, you know, a preliminary, again, this is sort of a preliminary template or something for a website policy.
If we eliminate the term policy altogether at this point, because we're not really moving to policies, but to develop a template for consideration of social media.
Well, how about usage?
Usage, social media usage.
Social media usage.
That's good.
Okay, so. Develop a template for social media usage and present to the board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other items within the strategic planning that folks wanted to address?
I think Dr. Dean has her hand up.
Okay. Director Dean?
When I look at this, where it says social media, what I'm looking at is before I was a director, I used to post on social media just the meeting announcement and agenda and with the link for the CCSD website. So people knew there was a meeting happening and to go to the website to look at the full agenda packet. Since I've been a director, I quit doing that after checking with the general manager to see if it was appropriate for me to keep doing that. But the way it is now with nothing being posted on social media indicating that there is a meeting, unless someone goes to the website on their own, they may not know that there's a meeting or what is on the agenda, other than if they're in that email list. So I think part of our social media policy should include how we notify the public besides being on the website that there is a meeting going on and this is how you get to the website to get the agenda. I never posted any comments about what the meeting was going to be about. I simply posted the agenda and the meeting date.
For points of access, right.
Yeah, and I think we need to start doing that again because there's a lot of people that don't know these meetings are happening and don't know they can get on an email list notifying them of that. Also, in the past, quite a while ago, it used to be in the Cambrian or in the Tribune what the meeting schedule were, and we don't have that anymore. Cambria CA has offered to post a calendar on their weekly newsletter, and I don't know if the district is interested in doing that to let people know that there are CCSD-related meetings going on. And that's not just board meetings. I'm talking about standing committee meetings and like the PROS meetings, things like that. Okay. And I just think if we were able to post these meetings, the announcements anyway, then people would know to access the website.
Right. And that's probably something that we could do right away in terms of the access for California CA. Director Gray?
Yeah. To follow up on Director Dean's comment, we might actually want to narrow that template a little bit, perhaps to say just develop a template for improving public communications by using through use of social media. Public communication through use of social media. In other words, that task is probably the primary one we're having to deal with right now, because as she says, we don't have anything, any social media. We don't use social media really in any official way to inform the public what's going on. And that would seem to be an obvious thing to do and have some policy for.
If I can add real quick. I know Harry.
Yes, Director Dean.
I know Director Farmer wants to talk too, but
right.
In the past year, Director Farmer has had a president's report every month on Cambria CA, and today, President Seidel, you had an update on there as well. And I think those are also valuable ways of getting information out to the public on social media.
All right. So, excuse me, Director Farmer, was there something that...
Yes, well, I was going to comment on Cambria CA, but what I'd also like to address is under improving communication with the public, where it says for future consideration regarding the newsletter, and I think President Steidel, you addressed this at a recent meeting, in the past, and it's something I'm afraid that I let lapse, that was started by former President Pearson, with regard to having a newsletter with an out with each water bill. And it included a statement from the president of the CCSD, also from the president of the healthcare district, and also from the chair or the president of the school board. And Sam Shalhoub, he had to drop out. And ultimately that wasn't continued, and I believe that you said that you were going to start that up again. So it says future consideration. I think that should be addressed more quickly. I mean, I think it's just as important as these other items that we're going to be addressing in April. And I think sending them, now a lot of people might say, well, folks just, all they'll do is pull out their bill. They won't even look at what else is with the bill. But I think that's another excellent way of, another way of communicating with the public, especially since it would be at least, like I said, the healthcare district, the school board, the CCSD, and perhaps the fire department as well in this one. And it was like a trifold. I mean, it folded three ways.
Right.
It just went in with the water.
Well, but interestingly enough, the impact or the feedback that we got from the community, from several community members, was to say that they didn't want that in their water bill. They didn't need to see it. They didn't want to hear about the CCHD. They didn't want to hear about this and that. And it's costing us money to put it in there. And we're hearing from people they didn't want to see it. So I think that's probably why it went away.
Yeah. And
Director Gray?
As I remember at our strategic planning meeting, this was my idea, this newsletter. I brought it up there. Our group brought it up, and I think I would want to see it. But I do think we also got information about the impact on the staff and staff time and expenses. I mean, it's not a cheap thing to do. Now, what Director Farmer is talking about, because I remember that well, because I remember when that was being done, that was just an initiative of the presidents. The three of them together just decided they'd do that. And it wasn't like, you know, formalized like what we're talking about now. So if they want to do it, they still can, I think. I mean, it's President Steidel and I think it's Iggy, President Fedorov, and I think still Sam Shalhoub.
And Shalhoub.
They still can, I think. Yeah. But I would say, going back, I think I agree with having it there, but I think having it as a short-term objective, I think, is a little bit too much of a push on staff time and resources.
Okay. So it looks to me, unless I hear anything different from folks, that we have the ability to move forward by having a motion that addresses three areas for change. The first one is relative to page 17 on the Achieve the Balance Policy for Growth and Resources. And I think it would be just a matter simply of having the RNI chair be the lead on that. That would be Karen. And for the other items we've discussed on page 15, for the increase and improved communications, the first item, rather than the word analyze, it would change to assess. And let's see if I can come up with the wording, unless Director Gray, you've got the wording at your fingertips.
I think what we came to after Director Dean's comments and my last comments is develop a template for improving public communications through use of
social media.
Use right. of social media, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Osana, were you able to capture those as far as being able to have the motion?
I know you said there were three, but then I remembered two.
Okay, right. So the motion would be for revision of the strategic plan. Objective descriptions for, let's see, number one is the increased and improved communications with the public, and that would be item one, to change the term analyze to assess. And for item two on that same page would be to develop a template for, one more time, Director.
Improving public communication through social media.
Okay, great. Thank
That's
you.
Perfect.
I had too many notes all over the place.
Okay, and then number three, go ahead.
No.
Well, actually, that was the one and two, and the third one was what I described initially.
President Steinman. So
it's in two areas, but it's three comments. Director Dean?
So on number two, so when it comes to who, is it still with input from the policy committee?
It's Director Weigold, who I guess really is the lead in this, although the term wasn't used there, and with input from the policy committee.
Yeah.
You just demoted the general manager to director.
Whoops.
Who did I do what?
Hey, you promoted him to director. It's okay.
Promoted him to the board.
Okay. All right, so that is what the motion would constitute, are those changes to the strategic plan that we have in place currently that is being brought forward for acceptance by the board. So we've had our discussion, and so we've moved on now to consideration of that by motion. And if you're satisfied with the motion as I went through it, and the second by Director Dean.
Okay.
Director Gray is motioning it?
Yes.
Okay.
The motion as read.
All right. Okay. So for the three different changes to the strategic plan, Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay. Director Gray says aye. And Director Dean, motion
aye.
Second. Okay, thank you, Director Dean, for aye. Director Farmer?
Are aye.
You okay, thank you, Director Farmer, aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Okay, Vice President says Howell says aye, and President Steidel.
Aye.
Thank you. President Steidel also says aye, so that is five ayes for the motion.
Thank you. So the motion passes 5-0 for regular business item 5A. And we will move on to...
What are we doing here? 3 o'clock.
Move on to 5B. For... Director Gray.
Yeah, just a point, a question about 5A. Did we vote? Does that vote we took constitute adoption of the whole?
Yes.
Okay, because it was worded in such that we're just doing a kind of a change, but right. We adopted them as changed.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Good point.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll move on to regular business item. 5B, and can you introduce the item, please, GM Weigold?
Mr. President Steidel, the agenda item 5B is discussion and consideration of adoption of a draft policy on grants. The policy committee recommends the board of directors review the draft policy on grants and discuss and consider adoption of the same. We've attached not only the proposed grant policy, but also the prior grant policy that's currently on the books from November 2015, and then the board's adoption of applying for grants specific to the SST program that was adopted in August of last year. This is an item that came from the policy committee and perhaps input from Vice President Howell, comments as well. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. So I'd like to call for public comment first, please.
Doesn't look like there is any.
Do not see any public comment.
Yeah, right? There is no emails either.
Okay, thank you. With that said, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Anyone?
Well, I found this is just slightly confusing in the sense that, if I'm not mistaken, page 20 is what we're hoping to adopt, whereas page 21 is something from the past. I guess I just wish that they had been reversed, that we would have seen the first, you know, the older one first, but that's probably a minor point. Before I make a comment on the policy itself, I just want to mention that on page 23, the policy with regard to SST projects, nowhere in this particular item is SST defined. And I think that might be a little bit confusing for anybody that's reading it. And I'll try, it's a solutions turnkey. I know that Karen would know what it is, and I knew what it was like a minute ago. So refresh my memory as to solutions turnkey program. So I don't remember what the first S stands for, but this would have been
sustainable. Sustainable.
Sustainable. Thank you. It would have been helpful if that had been stated in full and defined what it was. That's just an observation that I made. Thank you. And I'll let anybody else make a comment, and then I have another comment to make as well.
Well, okay. comments from anyone else? As far as that, the SST policy, I agree that it would be of value to be able to at least have it spelled out with just the acronym listed after it. And I guess maybe Vice President Howell, if you could coordinate with GMY Gold and find out if we can just do that as a clarification point without having to go through a revision process on that, or if that's an action that we can take.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And address it later.
Yeah, it should be fairly simple. I'll look at it. We'll work with GMY Gold, but check with the council to be sure.
Right. Okay.
It may be a very simple matter. It may not even need to come before you.
Okay, great.
So I'll put that on my to-do list, yes.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, I don't see any other hands. Director Gray.
Yeah, I had a question on the first sentence of 2170.2.1. The general manager shall inform the board of directors of all grant applications. How deep does that go? Because, you know, is it just simply telling the board in the context, say, of the general manager's report that we have applied for a grant for so-and-so, or does the actual grant, the actual application become available for the board to see? In other words, what does it mean to inform?
Okay. I can only tell you what our intent was there. I see that it is a little bit perhaps not as clear as it might be. Mm-hmm. The intent here was simply that prior to actually making the application, that the general manager would let the board know that a grant application, that he was planning to put in an application for a particular grant prior to the application being submitted. The intent here, I can't speak for all the committee members. As I said, this was a group effort, and it's been through several different iterations. I think the real issue here probably may have to do with how the intent, as I interpret the committee's intent here, was mainly that there should not be applications made for grants that the board is not aware of. And it wasn't felt a very good thing to have an application and then when it's time to accept the grant and receive the award, that's a little late for the board to suddenly turn around then and refuse. And so I think the intent is really to save staff time so that they're not pursuing things which the board might not want or where it might not be appropriate. What we did leave, what the group did not discuss, was how one thing that they did change, and this can, I think, will reveal the intent anyway behind what they tried to do here. The original wording was that the general manager shall inform the board of directors of all grant applications as soon as possible after submission. That was the original wording of this. So the committee wanted to change that before mm-hmm. submission. That lets you know where they're, what they're, how they're thinking about this. Mm-hmm. But what they didn't discuss is how that informing should occur. And you notice there's nothing in there about the board of directors approving the grant application before it's submitted. Yep. That's up to you guys. That's up to the board. I'm not going to take a position on it.
That was the rest. That was kind of where I was headed too. Also with this, like we're duly informed of an application. So what then is our, since we don't have an item on the agenda, it's not actually an action item. What does the board have the power to do?
As it's stated here, it's just a matter of being informed so that when the actual application comes to us, that we can't say, oh, we didn't hear about this. Or the other way of looking at it is it gives an opportunity. And again, how this is supposed to happen and is this enough? If we are informed in an open meeting that there is a grant out there that we should be applying for, that may be sufficient. I don't know that we need to necessarily instruct the management to go forward. On the other hand, maybe we do. So that I guess is where it is.
Well, that's why we're having discussion, I guess.
That's exactly it. You've got it. Does there need to be board approval, not just knowing about it, but does there need to be board approval prior to making a grant application?
Right. Director Dean?
One thing I don't see addressed in this policy, or if it is, I haven't seen it, is what happens if there's a grant that has a definite short lead time for applying for it, and there's not enough time before we have a CCSD meeting to bring this forward. For example, we may have just had a meeting and here he's found a grant that may not have any matching funds required, but it's something that's very important for the district and would be a benefit for the district, and it is within the purview of the district. What if there's not enough time to bring it to a board meeting before that particular grant is submitted? How do we deal with that? Do we have him bring it before the executive committee for a review, or do we have to call a special board meeting? What do we do? For example, I believe the fire chief brought a grant.
Just recently.
So if there's a time period and there's not an opportunity to bring it before the full board, how do we deal with that? I don't see anything in this policy on how we deal with having the GM apply for a grant in, under those circumstances.
Right. And maybe the real nub of this is that I think that we're building on several things. One is, without having had a strategic plan in place before and have something in front of us that we know fits in with the criteria of what we're trying to accomplish as a district, the GM didn't have a point of reference for whether a particular grant coming would fit that criteria, number one. Number two, the idea of having to be hobbled with going through the process of reviewing something with the board when there isn't a matching funds situation to something, and it would be of benefit for the either infrastructure or the needs of the board or the district. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, that's, it may be something just as simple as there's an email that's sent out to all of the directors that says, you know, this has become available as an opportunity. There's no matching funds requirements, and please be advised that I'm moving forward with application of the, or giving direction to the fire chief to move forward an application of the grant. So I think all of those kinds of circumstances can be easily addressed. I guess the question is, do those become something that's an operating policy within the district that the GM defines as it goes through, or is it something that we need to define within a policy at the board level and to put some criteria to it? So, you know, prior notification, but when matching funds are not required, there's no, you know, additional action required by the board, and the general manager can proceed. Or I don't know how detailed you feel you want to get within this policy, because I think having, in a lot of respects, having this, you know, having the bumper guard out there is great, but the idea of having that flexibility to respond to grants is really important.
Right. Director Farmer, I have something to say, Director Steidel, but I see Director Farmer's head is
right. Here. Director Farmer?
Yes, thank you. With regard to 2170.2.1, first off, where it says shall inform the board of directors, I think this has already been alluded to. How would he be doing that? And it appears to me, you know, a grant application has to do with actions of the district, might have to do with the spending money of the district. And so I feel like, you know, this should be announced, not necessarily in an email to us in one fashion or another, but perhaps at an open board meeting. So not only do we hear it, but the community hears about it as well, because we have some very bright people out there. And I'd like to get, you know, I think it's important to get their feedback
as frequently as possible. And also, and I know this sounds like a touchy subject in the sense that the need to trust the good judgment of the general manager. I appreciate the fact that this item has been adjusted to prior to submission as opposed to after submission. But I'm thinking that after that particular first sentence, perhaps it should say, and I think that Director Gray might have suggested this, all grant applications being considered by the general manager should come before the board for approval before being submitted to whatever agency. So I'd like to put out that out there as a possibility as well.
Director Gray.
I think there's a threshold question here we have to think about, though, because mm-hmm. a lot of grant applications are not going to have an impact. And, you know, impact either in terms of, of matching funds, but also of long-term financial commitments or staff commitments, that kind of thing. Most of them are going to be, for instance, some kind of equipment need, capital need, some short-term operational need that is quite, within our scope, within the budget, the effect on the budget would be negligible. I think we're talking about major grants that will have put us under an obligation, say,
or that obligation, yeah,
an obligation, something like that, that are significant long term or near term, as opposed to stuff that a manager might want to do just to improve operations in his or her department. So I think it's a complicated issue, but I think the idea of, I agree with Director Farmer that I think we, at some point, with certain kinds of grants, we probably should approve the application. But we have to have a threshold for when that's required.
I agree. And the conversations we've had before have always taken that into consideration. I think that some of the review of policy that's been brought forward before ended up being so so limiting in its language that right. It was precluding the ability to be able to even apply for grants, period, right. Because the turnaround time for bringing it in front of the board to satisfy the needs of people to control whatever the district is doing kind of came into play. And I sincerely believe that grants that don't have any financial impact to the district, we should be able to, out of courtesy, be notified by the general manager as long as the grant's within the constraints of what our strategic planning is, to go ahead and let us know ahead of time that that's something that's being done and then just go forward with it. And it doesn't need to be reviewed by everybody. It doesn't need to be laundered out in a board meeting or discussed over. But when you start moving into grants that have matching funds or have some kind of long-term commitment to them, then by all means, that's something that should be brought to the board for review. And if the timing is so significant that we can't wait until the next board meeting, that we could even consider having a special meeting to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. But I also would prefer not seeing a policy that constrains the process and in its entirety so much that we lose the ability to take care or to take advantage of things that are available to us.
Oh, if may I?
Director, Vice President Howell.
Yeah, taking into consideration all of that. Let me start by saying that the way this came about had to do with the application of a grant for that charging station over at the
building. Right.
Yeah. And it became apparent that, we had the original policy is actually rather restrictive and kind of complicated. And So I asked, when this came to the policy committee, I originally asked John Nixon to get together with General Manager Weigold and try to figure out a policy that would both satisfy the management's need for quick action without unnecessary hoops on the one hand, and satisfy the board's need for oversight on the other hand. And this is actually a little more restrictive than what was originally proposed. All right, having said that, though, first of all, we mustn't lose sight of the fact on the second paragraph that 2170.1.2, that sentence, provide additional financial resources to the district to assist in carrying out its projects, programs, and services. So it's going to be assumed we're directing the management to apply for grants that further the district's programs, projects, and services. So if the grant isn't doing that, then the manager is not doing the right job. I have to tell you, and John Nixon's point, which I take, and I think our entire committee really took it to heart, is, look, if you don't trust the general manager, then we need to hire another general manager. So we don't need to be creating all these fences. We just need to define clearly what it is we want. And then we can go from there. So what we're saying is, general manager, yes, go forth, find whatever grants you can, provided that they are within the purposes of the district. May I suggest that maybe, if it's from what I think I hear you folks saying, I think we can accomplish everything that you want to do. If we take on that second paragraph, point 2.1, if we say the general manager shall inform the board of directors of all grant applications as soon as possible prior to submission, keep that sentence, then add a sentence, grants that require matching funds shall be approved by the board prior to submission. Okay, but in any case, the board of directors shall have final approval of all grants awarded to the district. And the reason for that is, even though there may be no matching funds, often accepting money implies certain obligations. And so the board is undertaking, in other words, as it were, a contract with the granting agency. So as a board, we need to be fully, at present when we're signing these contracts. So I would say, maybe with that one sentence, if you add that where matching funds are involved, that we do need board approval and a special meeting could be called, but that otherwise, as long as we're informed either by email or in a general manager's report or somehow, we are all told that, oh, there's this interesting grant and we're going to pursue it. Because here's the thing, it does enable us, even on these possibly trivial grants, it does give an individual director the option then of approaching the general manager and saying, general manager, I have a problem with that grant you're thinking about. Because then the general manager is going to get some feedback that if he goes forward, he or she may not get the approval that's required. So I would advocate adopting this as is, but with amended by adding that sentence that I just quoted to you.
And could you repeat the sentence, please?
Okay. So for Osana, it's the sentence goes after the first sentence of paragraph 2170.2.1. So the second sentence then will read, grants that require matching funds shall be approved by the board of directors prior to submission. The civil, and then everything else, keep it the same.
So after the second sentence, you want to say grants that require matching funds.
And that'll be after the first sentence. So
yeah. Okay, after submission?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So say grants that require matching funds. Can you continue?
Oh, certainly. Shall be approved by the board of directors
prior to submission.
Probably should be applications for grants that require.
Yeah, applications.
Yeah. So sorry, Osana, one more time.
Applications
for grants.
So application for grants that require matching funds shall be approved by board prior to submission.
Yes, perfect.
And this is after the first sentence.
Correct.
Okay. All right, then.
Okay. So I guess unless there's additional conversation, we could take that as a motion if you'd like to put it forward, Vice President Howell.
I so move.
Okay.
I'll second.
Is the second? Okay.
I'll second.
Director Dean, the second. I'll second. Okay. And okay. Director Farmer?
Yeah, I just want to make a brief comment with regard to informing the Board of Directors. And Vice President Howell said that he could do that in an email. I guess that would be sufficient if everybody else is happy with that. I guess that would be okay if it is coming before the board for approval. If there's matching funds involved, maybe it doesn't need to be all that public. I guess that's the first thing I think about, is the public being aware of it ASAP. So I'll just leave it at that. If there's no reason to state that it should be, that we should be informed at an open board meeting, if no one else feels that's important, then I'll just let it go.
I think it's fine. If we're all notified by email, and we're all notified, if a board member sees a real problem, that board member can bring it up at a meeting too. So as an agenda item.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay, Asana, could you call roll, please?
General Manager Weigold has his hand up.
I'm sorry.
To see.
I didn't see that.
So I just had a quick question, President Steidel. If the board will approve the application prior to submission, does that also constitute approval for acceptance?
I think no, because that the I think it needs to come back as a formalized process through the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It's.
Isn't that kind of what it states? The Board of Directors shall have final approval of all grants awarded to the district. That's pretty much the statement that General Manager Weigold is thinking about there. He just used acceptance as opposed to, approval.
Well, I was just trying to cut down on the bureaucracy of getting a grant application through, and we really didn't achieve my goal, but that's okay. I understand where the board's coming from.
Okay. Well, we gave you part of what you wanted.
Well, you know, we can, if
we can always redo this. Yeah.
So, right.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Apologies. Yeah.
Well, I mean, before we go to roll call, I will at least, GM Weigold, what is it that was, that you felt was still an issue for you in terms of the policy as stated?
Well, it's really just the number of times we have to come to the board. So we could be coming back to the board at least two times, potentially three, because there's a requirement. If it requires a match to come to the board before we apply, there's another step to come to the board for acceptance. There's a potential another board approval for the resolution, and a fourth item for a budget adjustment. So there are four potential steps here. Now, some of them can be concurrent, but it's a lot of steps. And okay. So my biggest fear is that it will de-incentivize, you know, my staff, especially if it's a small grant and inconsequential, and I wanna get the yes more often than not. And take down roadblocks and obstacles in my role as GM.
Director Gray?
I have a suggestion. It might help a little bit on the language Director Howell, Vice President Howell inserted. Maybe it should be limited. In other words, the prior approval should be limited only to grants that have matching funds that would require a budget adjustment. In other words, if there's budgeted money that can cover a small matching amount.
No. That's an excellent point.
Yeah, if it's a small budget, I mean, a small grant or a small matching amount, it's already budgeted. I wouldn't think we'd have to do the same thing we'd have to do if it requires a budget adjustment.
Ms. Duffield.
So generally, they would need a budget adjustment because even if we can cover the expense, we've not recognized the revenue source coming in.
Okay.
And especially when it's a general fund department, you know, you would want to recognize that revenue coming in to offset any general fund reserves.
So it becomes transactional.
Right. It just kind of makes it really messy if you're not memorializing all the pieces.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. You're absolutely right.
I am trying to avoid a situation where every little, even a, where there is money somewhere in the budget, and it wouldn't require any additional revenue or reduction in other spending or something like that. Where there's a certain, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Maybe let me make this suggestion.
Yeah.
I don't know that we are going to be able to anticipate every kind of condition or circumstance. And if we find that we get into this and we're dealing a lot with the small end kinds of things and that it's becoming cumbersome, we can probably find ways to compress that or to combine certain actions at the same time to be able to move it forward. But I think this is a good, with the requested change, that this is a good position to at least start from. And if we need to fine tune it for the processes, I mean, the big ticket items that we're going to be dealing with near term certainly are going to be coming as a result of the SST program. So I don't know that we've got any kind of risk that this represents to us. And I think we're all sensitized to it and the GM sensitized to it. So if anything, we would err on the side of conservancy on it.
Right. If I may just follow your remark, President Steidel, to concur with you that I think this is a good place to start. I think as we go forward, if we find that it's too restrictive and there's too much nitpicking, it can certainly be adjusted. And I think maybe it'd be better to get a little experience as we go
with
forward
it.
And we can adjust.
Right. Director Dean.
May I make one more little suggestion since you're adding a sentence?
We've already gone to motion.
Okay.
So it would have to be a friendly amendment.
It's just that we just have SST on there and we've already mentioned that a lot of people don't know what SST stands for. Can we put sustainable solutions turnkey in parentheses?
Is that me? Sorry.
So should we just we'll restate the motion with the inclusion of the friendly amendment to spell out the acronym SST?
Okay.
Is that satisfactory?
Yeah, that works. So for OSANA, everything the same as we had OSANA, but with one last change at the very beginning. So right after where it says SST program, and there's a period, well, before that period, put in parenthesis, sustainable solutions turnkey program. Parenthesis. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. A friendly amendment accepted. No problem.
Okay, excellent.
And I'll second the friendly amendment.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Director Dean.
Sorry.
Okay. I think we have liftoff here. So I would like to move and ask that that OSANA reads the roll call for the vote on this, please.
All right. So Vice President Howell, motion.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Motion to add a sentence. After the first sentence in 2170.2.1 to read application for grants that require matching funds shall be approved by BOD prior to submission, and also spell out the SST program as Sustainable Solutions Turkey Turnkey Program. And so then Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
And Director Dean?
Aye.
And Director Gray?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
There he is.
And President Steidel?
Aye.
All right, all five board of directors said aye. Thank you.
Thank you. So the motion is passed. Agenda item 5B is passed 5-0. And
President Steidel, I'm sorry, I need to dash off camera for just a minute and grab a charging cable. I wasn't expecting to have to use my iPad for this and my battery's
out. Oh, okay.
I will be certainly. Right back.
Thank you.
I'll take a very short break while she's away, if you don't mind.
Well, it sounds like maybe everybody needs a short break. Is that what I'm hearing?
Probably.
Well, if it means anything, I don't know if anybody noticed, but I'm in a totally different location than I was 5 minutes ago. So I actually had to unplug everything and then come back and plug everything back in, including my phone, which is running out of power.
Okay. I suggest we take a quick break until 3:40. Does that work for everyone?
Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
And yes, thank you.
So I believe everyone's back, so we can go ahead and get started. And reconvene. We'll be moving on to the manager's reports next. So I just want to remind everyone, particularly folks who may be viewing, that these are actually the manager reports and the board member reports that normally would have been part of the second meeting in January. So a lot of what you see here is probably historic data for reference. We had a very dense meeting that day, and so we moved this portion out to the first meeting in February to be able to address these. So you'll actually see manager reports and board member reports again next meeting for the more current time period. But I would like to go over the manager reports here because there was some very specific information that was important to the community and needed to be shared also. Initially, I'd like to go ahead and address any public comment that folks may have for any one of the items that are listed in the manager reports. And of course, as usual, the time limit is the 3 minute time frame for public questions. So, Osana, do we have anyone from the public?
Yes, the public calls Christine Heinrichs. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, the general manager's report references a FEMA grant application that he's in the report says is on today's consent agenda, but it was not there. What grant is this? Where is that item? The finance manager mentions a FEMA reimbursement grant in her report. Is that what the general manager is referring to? Thank you.
So if I may, Ms. Hendricks, I'll address that for you immediately. As I'd mentioned, this was the report that would have shown the second meeting of last month. And if you look at the consent agenda for the agenda of that meeting, you'll find the information that you were asking about was specific data. And the fact that it was voted upon and passed. So do we have anyone else, Asana?
Let me double check. No.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to go ahead and proceed with the reports then. There are two things I'd like to draw attention to. One is the discussion that is in here with pictures of the activities of clearing the homeless encampment of the area from where it had been. There's some very specific information there about the volume that represented. In hindsight now, considering that the rainstorms that we had in the latter part of January, I think we were extraordinarily lucky that the timing is such that that area was cleared, because I think it could very easily have been, number one, potential effect to the people that were there, and potentially of injury or even death, considering how significant the water was. The other thing was that there were a lot of things there, including the syringes, that had they not been cleared from the site, could easily have ended up in areas that would have been a real issue for the community and for the integrity of the beach areas. So I just wanted to advise the community that we always need to be aware of those things, and the actions that we take sometimes may look to be cruel or inappropriate or inhumane, but there is a rhyme and reason to things, and I think that the conditions don't point that out. The other thing is that I direct attention to the tech talk that's in the utilities report. I found that very I found that very interesting in terms of the GIS descriptions that were provided. So I will move then first to the 6B, which is the general manager's report. Jim Weigold.
Thank you, President Steidel. A couple of issues before I get into the report. I know that the public regularly has a lot of questions, and while the board meeting is a place to certainly lodge public comment, it's not necessarily a place to get their questions answered. So I want to make myself available once again. I have my telephone number and my email on our website, and I encourage people to call me. I'll pick up the phone, believe it or not, and answer questions. And I do that fairly regularly, but probably not enough. And on a side note, if you're looking for information, you can certainly use a public records request, but just know that that encumbers cost to the district, not only from the staff time, but all those public record requests go through our district council. So I'm not discouraging that, but you can get your questions answered by just calling or emailing me. And I'll get, if I don't know the answer right away, I can get the right department head on it and help, you know, streamline some of that information gathering. On to the report. So first note on the homeless encampment, Carlos will be giving a much more in-depth report with some photos following my report. But I do want to let the board know, and the public for that matter, that removing a homeless encampment, while the actual removal process takes a day or two, 2 days in this case, the lead up to that from a legal standpoint is pretty enormous. We have to give notification. We have to coordinate with not only the sheriff's department, but also the Slo County Community Action Team, or CAT. So while it's our property, it's not our jurisdiction to do a lot of that. And David Hirsch and Tim Carmel have worked with us to iron out those procedures internally for the staff on how we have to go about that. It takes a long time. And so even though we started this, we knew about the encampment months ago, it literally took us 2.5 months to work through that process. And part of that reason is because we're not the only encampment in Slo County. Think about limited resources, trying to handle disestablishment of encampments throughout the entire county. It's an enormous issue. It's growing. It's not going to go away. Carlos is out there every day, literally every day, chasing around or chasing off people that are starting to encamp. Just because we've moved out of one location doesn't mean they're not going to pop up in another. So, and they all communicate with one another. So they know where open spots are. They'll move around. So it's a constant battle. But Carlos and his team do just an incredible job. It took a long time. And again, he'll take you through some more detail. The skate park, I talked with the designer last night, and his legal team and some of his rest of his management team have been out of the country. He expects to sign that contract within the next day or so. I wanted to let you know that we have another grant that we're going to be pursuing. There's no match on this. And this is, I've directed the fire chief to apply for this grant. It's a assistance to firefighters grant program for the current staffing of adequate fire and emergency response, or SAFER. This is a regular program that we've applied for in the past that has required a match. This year, it does not require a match. We're going to ask for grant money for three additional firefighters, for one for each shift. That rough total is somewhere around, and the finance director can correct me, but I think we're somewhere in the $300,000 to $400,000 range for that. It does not require us to keep those on after the grant, but we're going to be pursuing that. The deadline is March 6th, so it's again another example of a tight timeline. And the chief is starting to pursue that and complete the application, because it's a pretty lengthy application, and we'll be pressed just to meet that deadline. Again, this is no cost share to the CCSD, fully funded by FEMA. On a separate note, we did, as you recall, back in November, we applied for a grant through Cal OES, Office of Emergency Services, for a generator at the Vets Hall. We just learned Friday or Thursday night that grant was denied. So unfortunately, that won't be coming to us. I was hoping that that would be something that we could leverage for a emergency shelter. There is an appeal process, and we're looking into that. I'll have a much greater report on storm damage in next week's report. That'll be posted tomorrow afternoon, so there'll be a short blurb there on some of the photos from facilities and some other locations. And I can report that we're pursuing reimbursement and cost help from both Cal OES, Office of Emergency Services, as well as our insurance agent. And there's some requirements that, you know, between the two, if one covers it, the other doesn't want to, of course. And so we're working that seam. I just learned on a telephone call a few minutes ago that Cal OES is sending out adjusters tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So we'll be meeting with them over the hour to look and assess all the damage throughout the district for CCSD facilities only. That concludes the key points of my report, pending your questions. And then I'll turn it over to Carlos if there are no questions for me.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board? Director Farmer? You're muted, Director Farmer.
Good that you're here.
Oh, sorry about that. Since I'm on my phone having to do this, my apologies for that. Yes, John. So I'm assuming, you know, staff is disappointed that you didn't get that grant for the generator for the Vets Hall. Were you given, which seems like it would be something meaningful in case of a power outage, some kind of emergency. Were you given a reason that the district was denied that grant?
We were given our score. So apparently Cal OES created a scoring matrix. And there were several different categories in there. So we're learning, fire chief is investigating what areas we need to have a more robust program in some cases or another. But there were cases that in within the county where even disadvantaged communities did not get something as simple as a generator for a lift station. So it was a very limited program of just $20 million. And there were, I think, 225 or so applications. Even though that this was a 3-week window from notification to closure of the window application window, there were still an awful lot of applications for that limited money. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I it seems like maybe other people had a greater priority, other agencies or communities had a greater priority than we did. That's what it sounds like, more than we not being valued. That I'm going to assume that.
Yeah, they did not clearly share their scoring criteria, so we didn't really we probably could have been better prepared if we had known that. But with a limited, I think by the time we were aware of the application, we did the best we could, and we had board participation in preparing that, as well as the chief, myself, and Haley Dodson. So we put a lot of effort into it. It just didn't come out in our favor.
All right. Maybe next time.
Are there any other questions for the board? All right. So I guess GM White Gold, is Carlos going to introduce the balance of the report to us? Was that what you had indicated? Oh, you're
yes, sorry.
Okay. Hello, Carlos. Thank you for joining us again. I'm so sorry for the last time you had to wait through it and then we're not available or weren't able to provide your report. But this is valuable information for us to have. So please lead us through.
Yeah, no, thank you. Glad to be here. You have my report. It's attached to the agenda. Just a couple of brief items, and then I'll share some pictures on the encampment cleanup. So we've been doing a lot of maintenance at the Veterans Hall, as you can see by the pictures that I provided the board and the community. We're taking the opportunity that we haven't had many events at the Vets Hall to do maintenance that was hard for us to do when we had events all the time. One of the main things that we accomplished was to do some work on the south wall of the Veterans Hall. That's part of the main hall, kitchen, dining room area, barbecue. We pressure washed that, scraped all the loose paint, re-caulked the windows, repainted all the trim, the walls. So that whole section is looking really, really well. We had some water issues there in the past, so that was one of the priorities of why we wanted to do that wall. We had water coming in, and luckily enough, during the rain, we inspected the Vets Hall interior, and we didn't have any more issues with water intrusion. So that worked out really well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. We also did a little bit of pruning in front of the Vets Hall and the two redwoods. Those look really, really well as well. And we're currently working on refinishing the wooden floors inside the Veterans Hall. So those should be nice and shiny here by next week. We are also continuing to do dead tree removal on the Fiscalini Ranch and clearing out some of the encroaching trails there. So that's an ongoing thing that that we're doing quite a bit. With that, I'll share with you a few pictures, if that's okay, on the encampment cleanup.
Please.
Let's see. So as you all know, we had some very large encampments on Highway 1 across Cambria Drive. You can see in the pictures here what those encampments looked like. We started the process of cleanup, as General Manager mentioned, months ago. It was about a 2.5 month process. We worked with the Sheriff Department, the Community Action Team. They're a special group of sheriff's personnel that is trained to handle homeless encampments. They do a lot of outreach, and that's what they did on these encampments. For a little over a month and a half, they visited every individual there and reached out as well with county services, mental health, drug abuse. They provided options for shelters as well for the occupants there. So that was an ongoing outreach to provide the occupants there were with a place to go. In December, we officially noticed all the occupants there with an official document of a 2-week period where they needed to move out. And the deadline for that was January 6th for that deadline. Before that, we provided the occupants there with a dumpster roll-off that we brought in as close as we could to the encampments. And we asked the occupants there if they had anything that they wanted to be thrown away, to just place it in the dumpster. We gave them a lot of trash bags as well. And so what you see on the right-hand picture is actually not trash that CCSD or a contractor put in there. It was actually the people living in the encampments that filled that trash dumpster up. And that was filled up twice. So about 80 yards of trash was actually loaded up by them. Huge cost savings, obviously, to the district because we didn't have to have a contractor clean all that up. So that worked out very well. On the day, January 6th, we had a few occupants still there in the encampments. So we provided the occupants with sort of a personalized dump trailer, which is what you see on the left-hand side. We brought in dump trailers. We provided them with bags, trash bags, and they themselves loaded up whatever personal belongings they didn't want to be thrown away. We cover those up, and what you see in the middle and right-hand picture is those trailers being brought out to our facilities at Rodeo Grounds. We moved those dump trailers out Monday through Saturday so that the occupants could retrieve their belongings. And luckily enough, they did come by and all of the belongings got picked up by them. So that was all personal stuff that didn't get thrown away. On the day of the cleanup, we had a crew out there that helped us with that cleanup. We were able to haul away 200 yards of trash. We had a couple of tractors, 5 trailers, and 1 dump truck that we utilized to load up all the trash in the encampments. Along with trash, obviously there was quite a bit of hazards in there, as you can see in the pictures. We were able to pick up thousands of syringes through all these camps. In the middle picture, you see, if you're able to see, there's several syringes just laying on the ground, and that's typically how we were able to find these syringes, just laying on the ground, you know, scattered across the encampment. So that made the cleanup effort very tedious, as you had to be very careful of what you were picking up, what you were throwing away. There's also paint cans in there, so there was also other materials that were hazardous. Along with that, obviously there was the fire issue in the encampments, and we had propane tanks, fire pits, barbecues in there as well that we removed. These are before and after pictures. On the left-hand side is what it looked like before the cleanup, and then what it looked like after the cleanup. And one of the things that is worthy to mention here is you see on the right-hand picture, the willows, how they're basically limbed up. That wasn't done by our contractor or CCSD staff. When an encampment is being built, the occupants there themselves actually limb up the tree so they can actually put their encampments underneath. So that's part of the cleanup effort as well. And obviously, you know, that was a lot of work that went into it, you know, just adding and sort of piggybacking to what the general manager mentioned, we were successful in cleaning those encampments up. Luckily, you know, we didn't know that there was such a huge storm coming. And luckily enough, we were able to get, you know, all of these folks out. And, you know, luckily that all the trash didn't go in the creek and nobody was hurt. So overall, it was a very good thing. In my report that you should be receiving next week, I also point out that even though we cleaned up these encampments, we had other encampments that popped up. One was actually right along the creek, and we were able to get those folks out as well about 4 days before the storm hit. So that was also cleaned up, and we're fortunate enough that we were able to get those people out as well. That's my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Carlos, could you do a favor between you and Pam, address the cost issue with this, because there is a cost, a significant cost, you know, for these cleanups.
Yeah, so obviously I did a lot of research on contractors that could be coming out and doing this type of work, reached out to several cities and asked for their contractors and contracts for them. At about 200 yards of trash that we hauled away from there, you know, we were looking at about $100,000+ cost. Mm-hmm. Because we were able to get the homeless occupants there to help us load up a lot of that trash, that cost came down significantly. But there is a cost to it. And the current bill that we have for the contractor is at $30,000 for the cleanup of that of that encampment. Again, we already have other cleanups that we did. After that, there was one at the Pocket Park on Center Street that we ended up cleaning up as well. So those costs are going up, and they'll continue to be an issue for the district.
Is there anything else you'd have to add to that, Ms. Duffield? Or has Carlos pretty much covered that?
Sorry, I turned my microphone off. It was already on. So yeah, we continue to watch the costs because, you know, we're exceeding the line item for that budget, and we will be talking about it in more detail at next week's board meeting. We do have that listed in our, because we will be reviewing the quarterly report into the second quarter. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Right. So, Mr. Weigold, should we move on to the finance manager's report, unless there's some other question or comment as far as the other board members are concerned? Director Gray.
I just want to salute Carlos for doing an incredibly good job in a very, very sensitive operation in getting people to move out, and especially getting them to sort of do some of the work themselves, which is, you know, shows some real skill at dealing with people as well as dealing with homeless encampments and stuff, you know. So I think I have to salute him for that.
I agree absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to concur with what Tom said, and I want to mention that, you know, Carlos has had a long-standing relationship with the homeless people out there, and he goes out and deals with them with a tremendous amount of caring and compassion.
You've muted. Director Farmer, you seem to have cut out.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. What I was saying is that I think because Carlos has had an ongoing, very positive relationship with the homeless people, coming from a place of compassion and understanding and sensitivity, that he was able to get cooperation from them. So I guess what goes around comes around, so to speak. And it was to the advantage of all, including the district financially. So hats off to Carlos and his crew. Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm pleased that after looking at it, that, you know, nobody was hurt, and it looked like we did the right thing there.
Well, I do. I very sincerely believe that the actions that were taken that managed to address that whole situation just could have been catastrophic with the wind and the rains that we experienced in that storm. So thank you for protecting us.
And President Steidel, one other note, you need to be recognized because we really want to thank you for going down to the site to visit with the other agencies that were assisting us. I think that showed great leadership for the district, and you know, because the folks that are helping us on site here in Cambria also have a lot of other obligations around the county. So that really went over well.
Well, it's kind of you to say that, Jim Weigold. I appreciate it. Well, the benefit that I really saw out of it was to meet the folks who are on the line dealing with things. And quite frankly, the admiration with which they consider Carlos. So that was good to hear also. So shall we move? Oh, I'm sorry. Director Howell, do you have something? Vice President Howell?
Just very briefly, pleased to know that you went down there, President Steidel. I wasn't aware of that. I think it was an excellent idea. And again, I wanted to just second what everyone else was saying regarding Carlos and treating these people as fellow human beings. An idea just went through. I just wanted to share a very quick thought that went through my mind as I was looking at the pictures, though. Sometimes we regard homeless people as being messy and trashy, throwing trash everywhere. But today was trash day. And I'd looked at the amount of trash I took out of my house, you know, in just 1 week. So this is someone who can afford to have their trash picked up. If I went out there and I could not afford it, I would probably be sitting in a mound of stuff just like that. So these are not bad people. They're just poor. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Carlos, again, you know. To get his cooperation on this, I think, was masterful and really, really good. I think it's appreciated by everybody.
Thank you. So, shall we move on to the finance manager's report, Jim Weigold?
Yes, over to Ms. Duffield.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Steidel, members of the board. So just to remind everybody, this is the report for December activity. It's just, I don't know, it seems kind of weird. It's a little outdated, but we'll still go through it real quick. So I want to respond first to the public comment that was made earlier regarding what is the FEMA item in the finance manager's report. So several months ago, FEMA put out some guidance, and districts, special districts, cities, counties, you know, different agencies that have been affected by COVID costs could submit to FEMA for reimbursement. So we did submit our costs for any of our personal protective equipment that we've had to purchase, you know, face masks, we have disinfectant wipes we've had to purchase, you know, major cleaning supplies. We've had to put signage out at the ranch. You know, we have signage here at the office. We had to put plexiglass here at the office. I mean, there's various expenses we have had as a result of COVID. So those costs were submitted to FEMA. And it has been a very long process with them and their review. They're still continuing the review. You know, and every couple of weeks, I'll reach out to them just asking for a status update. And when I reach out to them, then they come back with more questions, you know, and what this was for and what that was for. So at this point, we still, you know, it seems, you know, that I'm maybe not updating that paragraph. But I still don't have an answer from them on what they're going to cover and how much relief that comes, you know, what revenue is going to be offset from the district for those expenses. So it's not that I'm not updating you. It's just I don't have any more information than that to update you. So hopefully that helps the public understand and the board understand you know, where we're at with that FEMA process.
Thank you for that.
And it isn't a type of grant that we necessarily submit an application for and wait for it to be, you know, like our normal grant process. It says you have matching funds. This is something that costs have occurred, and now we're going to them and asking for them to reimburse us. It's a, you know, it's like a disaster recovery process, I guess, is what this COVID-19 grant is, kind of like what we're going to do for the storm damage. You know, it's a different grant procedure and a process. So, you know, it's not going to be coming to the board, you know, saying, can we apply? Here's our match. You know, it's a very different process. So hopefully that helps answer some questions for the board and the public.
Thank you. Well,
as far as the Tyler financial system, it's going full speed ahead, and I'm challenged every day with keeping up with all their emails and requests and the homework and stuff, but it is moving forward. During the month of December, we did finish developing the general ledger and the structure of the general ledger. So that was very successful. And then going forward in January to February is the configuration for all the financial modules in January. And then February will begin the configuration for utility billing. So it's been very, very busy with Tyler. As far as the audit goes, we are wrapping up the last piece required to complete the report. And hopefully that will be wrapped up, I'm hoping, tomorrow. And then very soon we'll know the final date of when we can expect that report in our hands. So we are extremely close to that process. And then we're trying to get some time scheduled in the month of March to begin the 1920 audit. So, you know, we're challenged. You know, my time's going to be very challenged because, you know, implementation is going to be happening in the system at the same time the audit is going on. And then it's also tax time for, you know, our external auditors. So we're trying to work out a schedule that will work for both of our worlds. So more on that to follow very soon. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Well, just I would like to commend you and your staff, Ms. Duffield. I know that the volume and density of things that you're dealing with right now, before anything ever came up about the storm damage and the kinds of things that have to be handled with insurance and the financial analyses associated with that. So I know that you're all pushed to the wall, and I want very much for you to know that we recognize that that's the case, and the amount of effort that you're putting out and professionalism that the whole group is showing in being able to support the district at the level you are is very much appreciated. And I personally thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Are there any questions that any of the board members have? Okay. All right, Ms. Duffield, thank you.
Thank you.
And the utilities report, I believe, GM, correct? Osama?
Yeah, I had a written comment for 6D from last time.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so from last in January.
Yes, thank you.
So I wanted to wait for that. It's from Elizabeth Bettenhausen, and she's not on, or else I would have asked her, you know, to read it. So it says it's attached for your study and consideration. Agenda item 6D, January 21, Board of Directors. I bring to your attention the issue of water meter replacement as it's been reported to you over the past year. What follows are quotations from the agendas of your meetings with citations in reverse chronological order. So she's got December 17th, November 19th, October 15th, September, July 20th, June 25th, and then no report. So January 21, she said, page 97, the last week of the month of December marked the final meter reading of the calendar year. Water staff is now manually reading over 800 meters per billing cycle. We are developing an RFP for replacement meters. Several approaches to replacement upgrade are being considered by staff and will be brought to the Resources and Infrastructure Committee for review and recommendation. August 20th, page 138, engineering staff continued to research potential meter register replacements, speaking with vendors across the industry. Engineering staff anticipates releasing an RFP for this program before the end of the year. May 21st, ACCIP list on page 9, and then B, page 19 of Agenda and Resources and Infrastructure Committee, Cambria Water Demand Report for submittal to Urban Water Master Plan Upgrade Consultant, May 11, 2020. The year-to-year variation does not correlate clearly to demand. This suggests that the production consumption gap may largely be due to leakage, which in a pressurized system will occur whether or not people open their taps. However, the age and condition of water meters can also be a significant factor, with older meters tending to err on the downside. CCSD staff has estimated that water meter accuracy degrades by 4 to 7% over 10 years. In that case, the system where the average age of water meters is 10 years could be under reporting consumption by up to 7%. We assume that the CCSD will continue its efforts to reduce water losses both by detection and repair of leaks and replacement of older water meters. How well it succeeds could have a major effect on forecasting its ability to meet new demand. On April 16, page 8, water meter replacement. We continue to assess a variety of vendors.
Osama, excuse me. I apologize. I'm going to interrupt you. 3 minutes. I know it's having taken a look at that. I recognize that it's a rather extensive report, yeah. And I allowed it the 3 minutes that normally would be available for public. And it is something that will be incorporated as part of the meeting minutes. So I think what we'll do is leave it at that for right now. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. The utilities report, Mr. D'Anzo. I really like the GIS tech talks this time.
Well, thank you, President Steidel, and I'm pleased to give you this utilities report for activities that happened back in December. And Ms. Duffield already said, it seems like it was ancient history after everything that happened in January. But I'll talk about that next week. So if you have any questions about that, understand that I'm only addressing December, because we'll be talking about the storm activities in next week's report. But I'll go ahead and talk about this, the activities that happened, things to highlight. We did, at the end of December, we completed our first round of what's called PFAS sampling. PFAS is, you know, the perfluoroalkyl substances, basically some substances that are starting to be a constituent of emerging concern in the state mandated wastewater plants from 100,000 gallons per day and up to do monitoring for that. So we did our first sampling of that, and I'll present you the results of that next week's report. Because that monitoring effort is for the whole year, and right now there's no actions being proposed, but it's just a monitoring phase at this point. Other things that I wanted to mention relating to the wastewater treatment plant, there's our PG&E SSD project is moving along. I'll give you a more. I'm getting feedback. Okay, I'll be giving you a more detailed report on that next week as well. I also wanted to make mention that there are some look ahead things relating to permits that I mentioned in my report. For example, we're switching over our wastewater permit from the one that was updated back in 2014 to a new what's called a general order permit. And this came out, this was finalized late last year, and we will be enrolled in this permit. The process is going to be about a couple of years in the making, so we'll be moving forward with that. Some studies that need to be done in relation to this are the salt nutrient management plan and also the operation and maintenance and monitoring plan, which we hope to combine with the upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant. So all of those things are just look aheads, things that were, you know, we haven't quite started, but it's something that I wanted to make mention just in case, so you know, no one will be surprised when we start talking about it. Things relating to the collection system, as you know, the Vactor truck, my history in the district is tied very closely to that Vactor truck since we started at the same time working here. And that Vactor truck is got a clean bill of health. We did our annual maintenance for that. And so he is ready to keep going for another year and doing great work. I wanted to make mention, even the efforts that our collection system maintenance people, they didn't even start at the very beginning of the year, but they were able, with the help of the Vactor truck and with the help of our sewer camera, to be able to clean out 20% of our sewer lines. So, and that was in you know, less than a year's work in 2020, and with all of the challenges relating to the COVID and all of that. So kudos to our guys for that. Things relating to the water, you know, there's some leaks that we wanted to, you know, there were a couple of leak issues that took place, some big, some small. I'm afraid a lot of the issues are the same. A lot of it is tube damage, which gets into the pipes and starts moving pipes around and in this case causes damage. It's a reality here in Cambria, but it's some of them can be avoided, where you know, to avoid planting trees next to service line pipes, things like that. I know that some of those, you know, can't be avoided at this point, but if it can be, you know, it's a good reminder for that. Also, relating to this, I also wanted to address the issue even that Dr. Bettenhausen said. You know, I do mention that our water staff is now reading over 800 meters manually now. And we do have a proposal that we want to bring to the R&I committee at the February meeting. So I just wanted to give everyone a heads up for that. And I do mention that in the report here. And the other challenge relating to that is we do want to time the upgrade of our meter system, because with the upgrade of the meter system, there's also an upgrade of the software, and the software is tied to utility billing, very tied to utility billing. And so we want to also coincide that with the tile and code update. So that's all of those things need to work together. And I think, you know, by the time we get these proposals and we get these meters starting to be installed, it'll happen all at the same time. So yes, I of all people want to get this done. Our guys want to get this meter upgrade done. So we are doing everything that we can to move forward. A couple of last things relating to water. At the end of the year, there was 50% of our diversion right from San Simeon was used, and 65% of our diversion was used for Santa Rosa. As far as you know, the balance between Santa Rosa and San Simeon, I'm sorry, San Simeon was 50%, Santa Rosa was 65%. And as far as the balance of production between Santa Rosa and San Simeon we used 74% of our production from that well source. And as far as the water, there's some water department activities here that are shown in the table. Something that I forgot to add was the hydrant hydrant maintenance, the hydrant valve testing. We did 106 of those in the month of December. I wanted to make that known, and that was out of 359 total fire hydrants. As far as where we are, you know, we didn't quite start in January of last year, but so it's not like a full year's worth of work, but we almost completed the entire 359. We were like right around 325, but next year's report, we're going to start that cycle anew. So anyway, that's just giving you a heads up for what to expect for next month. The well levels, as far as the well levels are concerned, from the results of December, we were in danger of possibly going into a full stage two drought, but a spoiler alert, our well levels are back to above average. So, which again, it's a clear illustration of how our watershed is in San Simeon and also Santa Rosa. But I'll talk about that in next week's utilities report. Couple of other things to touch upon. Nothing much happened with the sustainable water facility. There is some maintenance that was done. We have one of our sodium hypochlorite pumps out for repair at the moment, but we do have a couple of other pumps there, so it's not completely, you know, out of order, if you will. But yeah, it would have been more of an issue if we were in danger of running it. But anyway, at this point, we are probably going to get that back soon. And as far as my tech talk topic about GIS, the main point that I want to communicate with this is, like, I know that everyone here is familiar with some form or another, but you know, GIS stands for Geographical Information Systems, and it's more than just fancy maps. It's actually a tool that we use that we can have visual access to the data. And it's cool because we store all of our data in there, and we're able to access it, and it's easy to access it because it's visual. And the main point here is that one of the things that's important to our department is we want to maintain historical knowledge and be able to pass historical knowledge to the next generation of operators that are going to be here, and not only just have knowledge, you know, because, you know, knowledge can be in boxes and boxes and it's not accessible, but the GIS makes it accessible, and it's easy to input data into the system, and it's easy to export data out of the system, and it's cool because it's in pictures, it's visual. You know, everyone knows where they live, and they can point to that on a map, as opposed to, oh, here's my APN number. I don't know what my APN number is, but some of you do, but you know, most people don't know it off the top of their head, but they can point to it on a map. So that's one of the main points in Tech Talk topic is, and GIS is something that we use for everything. You know, we use it for our water systems, our wastewater systems. We use it for water conservation. We use it for tracking will serves and even some underserved areas. So all of that is utilizes GIS, and it's a really good important tool for us. Couple of last things, I do want to give kudos to Melissa in our department. She was involved in a panel with CalWEP. CalWEP stands for California Water Efficiency Partnership. She was one of our, she was a panelist that represented district as far as water conservation was concerned. And, you know, she was able to talk about the good things that we were doing relating to water conservation and the challenges that we experienced, and was able to talk about it with other peers in our industry and share ideas. So, and she represented us really well. So kudos for Melissa for doing that. Last thing that I wanted to mention, as far as the the urban water management plan. We are in the stage right now of going over the supply and demand analysis with our consultant, which is Water Systems Consulting, and of course the data that we're getting relating to water conservation, updating that model, and also updating the model for that's used for the SWF. That also benefits the urban water management plan as well. And I know there was a couple of questions that I know that Director Farmer asked last month that I didn't get to answer. So as far as the two items that he asked about for relating to the regional board, it was like about 120,000 total. And those are permit to use, our use permits. It's for all three of our facilities in total, our water facility, our wastewater facility, and it also includes our SWF, because we are, they are our the regional board is our regulatory agency regarding our permit to operate. And so we pay them, and it's and the fee is based on population. So it's hopefully that answers that question. And the other question relating to Cindy Cleveland's work, she does work for us relating to the adaptive management plan. She gets biological monitoring. She does biological monitoring and surveys relating to the adaptive management plan for the SWF. And she also is helping us developing the in-stream flow study scope. So those are, she has a small role in that, but it's mostly for the adaptive management plan. And she also does some work for us relating to our permits for the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and also for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife related permits for some of the maintenance activities that we do. So to be sure that, we're doing everything that's consistent with the permit. So hopefully that answered that question, but I'm also available for any other questions, but that concludes my report.
Had my mic off. Thank you very much, Mr. Danzo. Appreciate that. It was a thorough report with a lot of moving parts going on for all of the activities that utilities does for us. Does the board have any questions? Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you. First, Ray, thank you for answering my inquiries from the last meeting. I appreciate you doing that. I want to ask a couple of, first off, I want to, you didn't mention this, but how hard, not just water, but especially wastewater, how hard the wastewater crew had to work at the sewage treatment plant as well as in the collection system during that deluge that we had back in January. Having spoken with them, I don't think people have any idea how hard the fellows were working, working 24 hours in a row. Just, how could you say it? Basically preventing a major catastrophe at the sewer plant because of more water was coming up out. And I think it was only by a miracle and just the hard work and dedication of the staff that prevented that from happening. You didn't mention that. I thought I should. So thank you. Also, I just want to ask a couple of comments on the report. First off, on page 42, the last paragraph, a line repair being completed at the plant. And, thank God that Vector truck came in handy once again. And it seems like a lot of digging was done by hand there as well. And it took a lot of staff time. But you alluded to the fact here, the last sentence, this project had been bid at $42,000 by an outside contractor. So obviously you had to take a little bit of staff time to do that. So you just probably decided $42,000, we don't need to spend that much money, we'll just do it ourselves. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, it was a combination of, good ideas by the guys here at the plant and the go-getter attitude that they did to be able to get it done.
Yeah, cool. Also on the following page of 44, up at the top, it says in December, water staff responded to a report, and it says standing. I know you meant standing water surfacing at Randall and St. James. So I've lived here for 34 years plus, and I've walked by that location thousands of times, and there's been water there for I don't know how long. And I think the community has always felt, well, that's just an underground stream, because we get rain and that there'd be water coming out of that location for months in a row. Now, I don't know if that's still applicable. And, you know, I also want to say that if you go up to Benson, right in the middle of where Benson crosses Bixby, and then you go down to where Benson curves around, there's standing water there. It's there right now. And also, so I'm wondering if there's just like not just an underground stream. I've also spoken to some folks that have a sump pump at their homes in that location there, like in the basement or something. So I'm just wondering if, in fact, there isn't an underground stream there, as well as a leak that was taking place. Do you have any speculation on that as well, concerning what I just stated?
No, but I'll bring that to the guys and have them investigate it for sure. Thanks for letting me know.
You bet. Like I said, that leak there at Randall and St. James, water's been coming out of there often for months at a time, for 3 or 4 months, for decades. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Are there any other questions from the board? All right. And were there any questions from the public? I don't see any.
No hands are up and nothing.
All right.
Email.
Well, then we would move to the board member committee and liaison reports. As we're encroaching on a 5 o'clock hour here, we'll probably want to move through this as quickly as we can. So I guess I will ask that as we go through and hit each one of these, if you have very specific information to relay, or if it's something that we can wait to next week to hear about, because we will be doing your reports again at that time, then I would suggest that we need to consider that, since we're going to be doing a closed session also. So I will ask for public comment, because that's something I've committed to. But I do not see, I don't see any indication for that. Okay. So the Finance Committee, is there a Finance Committee report? Director Gray?
Yes, in the spirit of what you were just talking about, I will not have a formal report. If we're talking about December, our main item was actually we were in the process of considering the budget adjustment that was approved by the board in January. And on our January meeting, we went over the second quarter update of the budget, which will be considered next Thursday by the board. So other than that, I don't have an action report.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Policy Committee. Ms. President Howe?
Yeah, go ahead, unmute. Well, I'm not going to take any time of this today unless there are questions. And again, I think I will actually take the same report, update it because it's old, and present it again next week. But if anyone has any burning questions, I'll be glad to answer them now. I don't see any questions. Okay.
The R&I Committee report, Director Dean.
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to combine this with next week's report in the interest of time. But when you get to a liaison report, I do have one item that I want to mention because of the timing.
All right. That probably relates to NCAC, I would guess.
Yes, and the discussions that already happened at NCAC, I could wait until next week, but I did want to give a heads up that we have a guest speaker next Wednesday on NCAC who's going to discuss the future plans for Highway 1. And this is John Oleg, I can't pronounce his name, it's O-L-E-J-N-I-K. He's going to be talking about a sustainable highway project on Highway 1, and we'll be discussing the Rat Creek landslide. So this will be part of the Zoom meeting. Sorry, I get tongue twisted. This will be part of the Zoom meeting on NCAC next Wednesday, the 17th at 6:30. There were some other very interesting things, a report that we had on the flooding situation in the West Village prior to the flooding. So I'll just go ahead and include that next week, if that's okay.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you. Are there any other liaison reports or ad hoc committee reports that we need to address at this time?
Okay. Well, I just want to for all I know, we might run out of time next time, but I just want to mention, since I have reports from FFRP and the Forest Committee and the Healthcare District, I'll just mention briefly from the FFRP. So they had their annual meeting. John Nixon was elected as the new president. Then they had their monthly meeting. And the main topic of discussion at the monthly meeting was providing funding for the maintenance of the ranch. And so as a result, FFRP has decided to step up to the plate and give more money to, let's say, Carlos and what he does out there on the ranch. So they had offered $14,000 to assist with regard to, you know, dead tree removal and trail planting and that type of thing. So they've increased that to $34,000. And they also had a special meeting recently after the deluge that we had. And at the special meeting, they approved paying the $9,000 bill for the work that was done by the local tree service to remove trees that had fallen in front of trails. So kudos to the folks at FFRP. They're kind of financially stepping up to the plate to help defray some costs that normally the district would be paying. So I just thought I'd mention that right now.
I appreciate that, Director Farmer, and that is definitely welcome news. And I'm assuming that either GMY Gold or Ms. Duffield have been notified or are aware of that in some way, so that they have some. Okay, thank you, GM.
Okay,
excellent.
Good. Well, I spoke with John Nixon this morning, and he said that he already had a dialogue with our general manager. So,
oh, great.
There we are.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Director Farmer. Okay. I'd like to move on, unless there's anything else, I'd like to move on to a future agenda items. And I guess for my own purposes, I'd like to move a future agenda item for the discussion and consideration of the establishment of that board ad hoc committee that I had mentioned earlier relative to forestry and forest conservation. Vice President Howell and I can probably formulate some more specific wording in terms of that as far as its placement on the agenda. It may be the first meeting in March, depending on what the timings are.
Yeah.
So I did want to do that. Excellent. And Vice President Howell, I don't know whether you want to address anything as far as that kind of hanging item about the review of the policies that we talked about earlier, the committee policy committee processes and things. Of course, we can just discuss that at the agenda review meeting.
Let's discuss it at the agenda review and see what we can
formulate.
What do you do with that?
Excellent. Does anyone else have any future agenda items? Director Dean?
My memory here. what ended up happening with the proposed agenda item for the discussion of the name of the water facility?
President Howell and our Vice President Howell and I have had some conversations about that, and it hasn't gone away. It's trying to identify the timing and being able to devote the time and effort to having that conversation, because we've got a very, very dense couple of months ahead of us leading up to a number of things, including the submittal of the UDLP on July 1st. So that is active, and there is discussion about it, and it hasn't dropped off the table. Okay. Director Farmer?
Yes, I believe that we still need to form an ad hoc committee for the urban water management plan. So perhaps we can have it on a future agenda item. I mean, on a future agenda.
I don't know that we need to form an ad hoc for the urban water management plan, because most of everything in that is already covered by the RNI committee.
I think there is rooms, President Seidel, for something there. I think maybe that's something you and I should talk further about.
Okay.
As you recall, I had some ideas about that. So.
Right.
But yeah, in terms of the existing, you know, the UWMP that's due very, very soon. We understand that has to go forward. But so in response to President Farmer, can we just say that we are continuing to discuss that issue? Would that be a true statement?
I think it's rather interesting, President Seidel, that you were willing to incorporate into the ad hoc committee that you and Director Dean are on, that you're going to incorporate the urban water management plan into what you're also be discussing with the CDP. Then we decided, well, no, we would separate the two. Now that I'm bringing it up, you're telling me, well, maybe we don't need to do that. So apparently we did need to do it before, but we don't need to do it now.
Well, I appreciate that that's the perspective. I appreciate that that's the perspective you had to it. The reason that it
was that's exactly what happened.
The reason that it was proposed in the way that it was initially is because of the overlapping between the two. And in conversation, and then in going to staff and asking them, do you need to have some ad hoc format for UWMP to be able to proceed with what you're doing? Staff said, no, we're fine. Everything's covered. At that point, I said, fine, then we don't need to consider that as part of a linkage with the CDP because of the overlaps. And so that's why it went away in its discussion before. And that's why it happened. It isn't because there's some kind of, you may choose to see it as something else, but that isn't the case. And I don't know how else to do that to you.
Let me suggest, if I may, that we do consider a future agenda item as follows, which we may decide not to do.
Can I take a motion to extend the meeting first?
Oh, you'll have to. Oh, Lord, yes, yes. I move to extend the meeting till 5:15.
Well, we've got closed session with two items. So
yeah, 5:30. I'm just afraid, you know, work expands to fill the time available. So at 5:30, I suppose, if you think that's enough. We should be.
It should be.
Okay. Move to extend till 5:30.
Second.
Okay.
Osana? About a show of hands.
Vice President Howell.
Would you like to do it as a show of hands?
Osana.
Yeah, okay. Let me do it. It's fine.
Show of hands, everybody.
Hands. Okay. 5:30?
5:30.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
So back to what I was saying, very briefly, why don't we do this and see where it goes? If we say for the time being that we discuss and consider forming an ad hoc subcommittee to review the 2020 UWMP for consideration of future amendments. So we're not talking about the current one at all.
Right. You're talking about the probability of
the almost certainty that there will
be obvious revisions that would come into play after UWMP's been provided in July. So I guess the only field that I don't have any field for.
The only reason
I would suggest doing this first is to touch base with GMY Gold and with Mr. D'Anzo, just to understand they may have some pre-planning in place already. For instance, the in-stream flow study and so forth is going to have to be incorporated as part of that.
So I would
like to be able to status with the two of them first before we commit to an actual agenda item for it. And
that's reasonable.
Necessary, it can be brought up in the next meeting for an agenda item.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
So continue the item then.
Yeah, continue the discussion on that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we get
clarity about it. I do think that an ad hoc is needed, but there's some questions to what it actually
is. Down line. Right.
Okay, so we're going to push this off as a discussion for a future agenda at the next meeting.
Right.
Well, Vice President Howell and myself will have a conversation with GMY Gold and with Mr. D'Anzo just to understand any potential gating that they have in place already for revisions that they know about that will need to happen for the UWMP because of the update for report results and so forth that will be coming in. And with that information in hand and some feedback from them about how an ad hoc can make a contribution toward that process after the initial UWMP is submitted, then I'm expecting we'd be able to formulate an agenda item to bring back to take a motion on to put on a formal agenda. So, I mean, it may be a meeting or two before it actually is agendized, but yes, it will happen.
As long as we're on the topic, just real briefly, if Mr. D'Anzo, do you know when the consultant is going to have this, the UWMP ready for examination? Do you have any sense as to that?
The first draft is probably going to be in about a month and a half or so.
Okay, that's all. I just wanted to get a sense as to the time.
And just to let you know, it's going to come in stages because the first thing is the water shortage contingency plan with the stages of drought. That's going to be the important thing. So
okay, thank you. Very helpful. Yeah. So yes, Director Seidel, you do need to get together and have a little off. I guess we are the ad hoc committee at the moment.
Okay.
For the subject. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you. So is there anything else?
Oh, yes. I meant Claudia Harmon brought up the issue of dark skies. So I would like to at least she's asked for a letter of support sometime during March. So we need to maybe if we can, I can talk to her and find out how much time she needs. And if possible, schedule it for our first meeting in March, if it's not going to be too long.
Okay. Is that right. Okay? And if she can, that depends too on the criteria that she was outlining to be able to provide that. So the staff has some idea of how to formulate a letter of support for that.
Good. So I'll talk to her and find out how much time if she needs to make a presentation. And then at one of our agenda review meetings, we can decide. Okay.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. All right. So is there anything else before I call for close so we can move to closed session? All right, I don't see anything. So I call the meeting to adjournment and then reopen it again for closed session to receive any public comment.
Okay.
I don't see any indication for public comment. So we will move to closed session with the new linkage provision to do that. So why don't we go ahead and make that transition as quickly as we can, and we'll finish up the business for today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.